What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride. Cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend. Cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
I'm pretty sure my name is Joan. I don't know who this sour person is, but I chose Joan. I don't know.
Buffy
why.
Just doesn't look like a Joan is the problem.
No, that was a crazy choice. That was an absolutely bonkers choice.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know. Maybe she had some sort of, there seemed to be some things that came through in their subconsciouses. And maybe she thought like Joan, Joyce, maybe like she was getting some sort of Joe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is like Joan Joyce is more similar. So like the J sound was like somewhere deep in the recesses of her memory.
I just feel as though I would never choose that name. Then again, when I was a teenager, I was like, I wish my name was Rebecca, which I don't know why, but I really liked the name Rebecca. And I was like, I wish I was like a Becca or like.
I will say like Rebecca has some like good nickname potential.
Unless you know, you're supposed to be a Becky and then you might as well just KMS, you know.
There's Becky, Bex.
Beck. I advise some young women, and I work with a Bex.
Bex, I like. I think Bex is fun.
Yeah, Bex is a really intelligent person, and I like working with them. Yeah,
love that for them. Okay, this episode we got to talk about it. This episode of Buffy. This was wild. Like, here's the thing. I hate Willow. She is the actual worst.
No.
Like, she's actually a trash bag of a human being.
She's our trash bag queen.
Yeah. And also, I apologize to anyone who listened to the podcast, like, two episodes ago, or maybe it was last episode, where I said this was tabula rasa. It's tabula rasa. I know that. I'm an idiot. It's okay. It's fine. It's whatever. I want to kind of talk about this episode in like what is it like quadrants of like before the forgetfulness, during the forgetfulness, and then post forgetfulness.
Yeah,
because I feel like those are the sections.
Quad is four, so can you add a third section?
Wait, no. Oh, so I guess it's trimesters. Like your like pregnancies. Perfect.
Perfect.
It's appropriate in every way. Yeah.
You want to divide the discussion by three is what you want to do.
Yes, because I think it's important that like I do think that makes the most sense to talk about it in that way. And obviously we'll touch on like multiple things, but like to start of with like, I don't know, do you would you rather start with like the Willow Tara or would you rather start with like the Buffy Spike stuff?
Don't care.
All right, let's start with the Willow Tara stuff because mm-hmm. I was waiting. I was waiting on bated breath for this argument because last episode was the musical episode. So Tara didn't get a chance to confront Willow about her shenanigans. And Tara gets right into it. And Girly went off on Willow in front of others. And I was here for it.
Yeah, get into the fight. It's because we open up and we see the Scoobies talking about kind of regretting the fact that they brought Buffy back to life and how it's a struggle because Buffy admitted that she got brought down from heaven, which is actually like a pickup line. Are you an angel? Were you dropped down from heaven?
Oh,
but
wow.
No, this is actually something that actually happened to her. Whoa, mm-hmm. Angel, move. And they're like feeling really bad. And then Willow is like, hey, I have a great idea. I know a little ditty where I can erase her memory and she can forget that she ever went to heaven. And then Tara is like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you idiot? Like, she's like, why do you keep doing this? Why do you only take shortcuts? Why do you insist on making magic all the time? And and Xander and Anya are like, ooh, we're gonna just like see ourselves out by. And I love
that. Love yeah, that so yeah. much.
We're just gonna sneak right out. Like, we don't need to be in the middle of this. And I love that Tara is like, do you think I'm a fucking moron? And Willow's like, yeah, actually, I kind of do think that you're a fucking moron. And then they get into, she's like, I know that you cast that memory spell. How dare you after the shit that I went through with Glory? Like, how could you do this? And as you predicted, Willow does the very like baby voice, like, I didn't mean to, I just like think that like I was trying to be blah 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 blah. It was well intentioned, which I know really set you off, right?
Yeah, so like Willow this entire episode, I think she only apologizes one time. And here's the thing. It's at the very, very, very beginning of this conversation where Tara says, do you think I'm stupid? I know you used that spell on me. And Willow says, Tara, I'm sorry. And Tara interrupts and is like, don't. Because yeah. I can guarantee you the next words out of Willow's mouth, we're going to be like, but I blah, 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 and make it fucking excuses, which Tara yeah. did not want to hear. I love what Tara said here. I loved what she said so much. She says, like, you violated my mind. How could you? And Willow has the audacity to be like, what? I didn't. What do you mean? I didn't mean to. I just didn't want us to fight. And Tara's like, what the fuck? Like, you can't just use magic to make a fight disappear. And Willow says, like, oh, I realize I did it wrong. And I love that Tara doesn't let that slide. That she's like, actually, though, this is constantly what you're doing. If there's anything that's slightly difficult, you do a spell. It's not good and it's not what you should be using magic for. And I love that when I knew this was going to fucking happen, that Willow was going to be like, but I want to help people. I knew she was going to fucking pull that shit. And I love that Tara says, maybe at first you did. Like, yes, maybe that was your intention in the beginning, but now that's not what you're doing anymore. Now you're doing it to help yourself, to fix things to how you want them, including me. Mm-hmm. And I loved that line. So much.
Yeah, I'm really happy that Amber Benson has finally gotten some like meat and potatoes to her role. Mm-hmm. I love this like new outspoken Tara. I love the fact that she's able to vocalize her feelings. And these are like some of the benefits of eliminating or taking, well, we still had a lot of Giles, but it's just like, it's just good. Like it's well warranted and it's deserved. And she gets us to rally behind her, and I think it's really awesome. Willow is is willowing. Like, this is just, it, none of this is surprising because she's been like this since basically day one. We've seen her do this type of stuff for a really long time. I think that this is one of the reasons why, like, her and Oz, it's a similar fight. Like, she's, every partner that she's had has kind of brought this up to her, and she's used the same excuses, and she's used the same little baby voice, and she's used the same strategy. And of course, like, the cheating came into play with Oz and Willow, but if it didn't, I'm sure they would have eventually landed in the same exact spot as Willow and Tara, because it's just what Willow does. She, I mean, we've talked about it a billion times. She doesn't take accountability for what she does, and she abuses her power. But when she does, once again, it makes really fun TV. So, all right, messy queen, like, keep fucking up. Keep, like, ruining lives. Yeah. Like, well, why not?
Well, what really got me is that, like, so Willow acts all apologetic. Like, oh, I need you. I need you. Which is so manipulative, in my opinion, to be like, oh, I need you, baby. Like, I don't need magic. I'll prove it to you. It's just such blatant manipulation. I'll
do it for a month, and, like, which is crock of shit. And Tara, who is, once again, prone to being railroaded in relationships, or at least taken advantage of, is like, do it for a week. And I think, like, a part of Tara knew that she wouldn't be able to stop it. And it's like, well, what's the use of you lying to me for a week versus you lying to me for a month? But this motherfucker couldn't even wait 10 minutes before she used magic again.
This is such bullshit. Okay, go a week and then we'll see, right? And it is, like, literally the next fucking day. Like,
yeah, it's the next
very next scene that Willow, and it's like, oh, I was so mad, because not only is she doing it right, like, Willow and Dawn are leaving the house, Dawn and Tara are leaving the house. Willow's not ready yet. And they're like, come on, Willow, we gotta go. And she, like, is like, oh, I'll catch up. She does magic just to get ready because she's running late, which, like, stop it. But she looks like her little shit eating grin of like, gotcha. Like, that is so fucked up that, like, the whole point is that you promised Tara you were not going to be doing magic for a week. And now you're, like, not only doing the magic, but, like, happy that you're getting one over on Tara in the meantime.
Yeah.
She does the spell, which we'll get into. But she learns nothing. Like, she has learned abso-fucking-lutely nothing. And it is, like, you can tell based off of the conversation she has with Tara and the subsequent use of magic in, like, the following scene, that she doesn't think that anything Tara is saying is accurate or worth, like, actually listening to.
Yeah.
She is like, oh, whatever you need, whatever you need. And then she just lies and does whatever she wants. Like, exactly. It's infuriating.
Yeah, she wants to be in the relationship. She likes being, like I said, like, playing house, being with her, but she doesn't want to be in a partnership. So she doesn't want to listen to Tara and her opinions. She just wants all the good stuff. She wants the floating above the bed coming scenes is what she wants. So she very, very, very quickly, and once again, for her to be like, I know what to do. I'm going to cast a spell not only on Buffy, but Tara again. So she forgets it again, which is so ludicrous. It is terrible, so bad. Because it's like, you just had this conversation with her. Like, we shouldn't be using magic to forget fights. We should be, like, talking it out. And everybody was like, oh, I don't really know if we should do another spell on Buffy. And to use magic on your friends and on your partner without their consent is horribly evil. Like, it's just so bad. And she does a spell specifically for the two of them in the next scene or the scene after that. It's so horrible. And she doesn't even... I don't even know if she's, like, not thinking about it, or she, I honestly think that she just does not give a shit.
I think she doesn't. I think she views what Tara's opinion as inconsequential, as incorrect, and that she just wants to appease her, and she's like, oh well, I'll just make her forget all about that argument that we had. I'll make her forget that she even thinks this way.
Which makes me feel like the first time that we saw her do that spell on Tara was definitely not the first time.
Definitely because not.
I don't think that there's any guilt about doing it. It's just that she's upset that she got caught. So yeah. I feel like, especially, I just think that she's done it many, many times and we haven't seen it, which once again is like so disgusting, especially after what she went through with losing her mind to Glory last season. So she does this spell. Specifically, the spell calls out Buffy and Tara.
Yeah.
And there's
because the Scoobies want to erase Buffy's memory of having been in heaven. That was kind of what they were discussing at the top of the episode, is they all feel very bad that Buffy was in heaven, not in hell. And they don't, you know, Willow doesn't want to feel bad about it. She doesn't want Buffy to feel bad. So instead of being there for her friend, she's like, I'll just erase all those memories that she has.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and the spell is like, take away the pain and the sorrow and all, like, right? Doesn't say something about like,
She says, purge their minds of memories grim, of pains of from recent slights and sins. When the fire goes out, when the crystal turns black, the spell will be cast. Tabula rasa, tabula rasa, tabula rasa. It's for Buffy and Tara.
Right. What does tabula rasa mean again?
Blank slate, like a clean slate, which is why we end up with the problem that we end up with, which is everyone losing their memories. But before we get to that, let's talk about the monster of the week, who is Sharkface. And we're continuing the kitten poker storyline. Mr. Spike owes Sharkface 40 Siamese kittens.
You know what? Siamese cats are pretty valuable. So I suppose purebred, right? It has to be.
Seems like it.
But then where is he getting the kittens from anyway? Does he have to go to a breeder? That's a lot of kittens.
Yeah, I mean, they are in California, so like maybe it's not too difficult to source Siamese kittens. But I mean, they're not like in Wyoming, you know, like they're not in the middle of nowhere. They're a couple hours from LA. So
like every single Siamese cat breeder in the United States to get up to 40.
I mean, I don't know how many I don't know enough about cats. Like, how many kittens does a cat usually have?
I don't know. More than
one. I need to look this up. How many kittens in a litter?
It depends on the cat. Like, it's just like
average is 4 to 6.
Okay, so he needs 10 cats.
That's a lot of cats and a lot of kittens.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to find it in LA. You're going to have to really go all over the place for this like cat thing. It's a lot.
This is before Facebook Marketplace. You're Craigslisting, you know.
That's a big debt to pay.
It is.
Yeah.
But he is interrupting Buffy and Spike's conversation because we get Spike following Buffy, basically being like, Buffy, we kissed. Like, can we please talk about this? And Buffy is a very playing Miss Avoidant. She says, I don't want to talk about this. It's never going to happen again. It didn't happen. I'm never touching you. Go away. She is like trying at all costs to avoid Spike. And Spike is like, I just want to talk through this, please.
Oh my gosh. Not the avoid. He is such a Scorpio.
We've been new. Like, we said this so long ago. We said this when he was with Drew Lulu.
Yeah. And this like attachment style dynamic between the two of them, she's so avoidant. He's so anxious, attached. Like, it doesn't, I don't know how in the day to day they're going to work out. It's such a problem. She keeps ignoring him. He doesn't want to talk about it. And then he doesn't know how to give her space. He's following her like a little lost puppy.
I feel bad for him because it reads like he finally got what he wanted. He has had feelings for Buffy for a long time now, and he's gone through the ringer with them, right? Like, he was like very toxic about it for a long time. And then he finally stopped being way too much and just being there for her, helping with Dawn, helping with Joyce. Joyce dies. It's a whole mess. He's still trying to protect Dawn. Then Buffy straight up fucking dies after they have this really lovely conversation about, like, you make me feel like a man, blah, 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 right? He spent the last 3 months grieving her death. She comes back from the dead, is like depressed as fuck, is going through all this garbage, but like seems drawn to him because they're both twisted. And then she finally kisses him. She finally shows like feelings, like that maybe possibly the feeling is slightly reciprocated. Obviously not to the extent that his feelings exist, but like there's something there. And then she just avoids him. Like, it is so, like, it just hurts my heart for him. And I know he's not, he can be very toxic and he's like not a good guy, whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I do just feel bad for him because it's like, imagine getting that reciprocated feelings or like a show of something from someone that you've been waiting like months, a year, who knows how long for, and then they just totally avoid you. Like, that is so sad.
It's rough. I mean, it's mental warfare. It's not great, but also of course Buffy's just not in the mental place for this right now. We can't be doing this right now. So she's probably embarrassed, you know. She doesn't know what she's feeling. She doesn't know what she wants to do. And I'm sure him being like right there being like, okay, tell me what you're thinking without her processing is like kind of a struggle too. So, but yeah, no, yeah. He's so obsessed with her, which sometimes is a problem and sometimes is really attractive. So it just depends on the situation. Sometimes it's a little creepy and sometimes it's like really endearing. And mm-hmm. It just like depends on my mood about which one I feel like it is today.
Yeah.
But of course I feel bad for Spike. My favorite, I've said this a bunch, my favorite moments are when Spike is the underdog, when Spike is like the sad sack. Like I really mm-hmm. like it because I don't know, like I find it very endearing. And I like that at times, like in the music episode, he like has his little like fits, like he throws like something, not at someone, just something at the ground, and mm-hmm. is like F her, and then he's like, never mind, I want to help her.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of cute. Yeah. It's like it shows that he's trying to rein in the fury.
Yes.
Which is an improvement.
He's trying to be a better person.
Well, he's a man, a hero, and a
yes.
monster in a redemption arc.
Yeah.
As he says, like, yeah. I might be a vampire, but I'm a good vampire. I'm trying to my best in this world.
Mm-hmm. So we'll leave that there because we'll talk through them a little bit more with the whole forget spell and everything. Giles, at the same time, I love the way they cut this scene where when Tara tells Willow that like she's leaving is when Giles tells Buffy he's leaving. Yeah. Buffy doesn't react well. She feels very abandoned. And we talked through this a little bit in the musical podcast last episode about like, I feel like it's a little forced because we know the actor is leaving the show. But Giles's reasoning is, as long as I stay, you'll always turn to me if there's something comes up that you feel that you can't handle, and I'll step in because I can't bear to see you suffer. He says, I've taught you everything you need to know about being a slayer. Your mother taught you what you needed to know about life. You're not going to trust that until you're forced to stand alone. And that he's like, I thought a lot about this. I need to leave. And Buffy obviously doesn't react very well. And I feel like, nor should she. Like, no. She has been through the ringer, and it really sucks because we talked a little bit about this, but like, I feel like Giles literally just said, I'll always be there for you. Like, a yep. few episodes ago. And
yeah, I can't be mad at Giles just because with the information that I have about the actor. So like, I think it's a bunch of bullshit. Honestly, this is one of the things where it's just like, it reminds me a lot of Dawson's Creek, where I'm like, well, I'm not really mad at the actor or the characters. Rather, I'm mad at the writers because it's such a stupid reason. Like, I feel like we could have done come up with something better or more genuine to the character. I don't know what that would have been. Like maybe he had his, like, he has a mother or a father that died and he has to take care of things back at England. And it's like a whole estate thing. He doesn't know when he'll be able to come back. Or maybe, I don't know, like maybe I don't know what it is because I'm not a writer, but it just feels like a bunch of bullshit. And it's frustrating because I don't think it's true to his character, really. And I don't really think it doesn't feel right, especially.
I feel like we could have picked a different reason.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I just think what if we did like a, because we've seen the Watchers Council now, right? Like Giles has been rehired by them. Like there's been a storyline with that. What if he needs to go back to Britain to like do something with the Watchers Council? Like, I just think there's a way to write him going back to the UK without it being like, you need to stand on your own two feet. Like that just doesn't feel like Giles, especially considering this is not the time. Like this isn't the time that Buffy needs to stand on her own two feet. The reason she is going through it is because she lost her mom and then she died. And then like, you know what I mean? It's not, and now she's depressed. Like it's not because she's leaning on him too much. Maybe with Dawn she is, but then there's like, again, there's conversations you can have and like ways to work around that. So I do think it's like a little bit of a transparent plot device storyline that I don't care for.
That's why I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, screw you, Giles. How dare you? Because I just think that it's just writer bullshit. So
yeah,
I don't agree. I think that even if she's technically an adult, she's still in her young 20s and she's a child. And I think that she really does need him for support. Maybe he can take a step back from the child rearing with Dawn, but also I think it's hard for Buffy as a young 20 something to be parenting her younger sister who's a teenager.
And now think about it, Sarah, by the end of this freaking episode, we've got Buffy trying to parent Dawn in a household with a crazy witch and no one else.
You know what's crazy? The fact that Tara had to leave and not Willow.
Kick Willow out!
I mean, it's like, what? Okay, hold up. Like, why? It's like in Pretty Little Liars when Arya's dad cheated and then it was Arya's mom who moved out.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, why did you have to move out? I don't understand.
Yeah.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
So then Willow does the spell. Everyone falls asleep, wakes up later, and they have no idea who they are. It just so happens that Willow and Xander fell asleep next to each other, and Willow was wearing Xander's jacket because she was chilly coming into the magic shop. So they believe that they are dating. Anya and Giles think that they're engaged because they co-own the magic shop and she's wearing an engagement ring. And Anya thinks her name is Anya. Horrible.
Well, I guess she can't pronounce it.
I guess not. Dawn and Buffy kind of figure out that they're probably related because they feel like they have this sisterly bond. We get Spike thinking that Giles is his father because they both are British.
Okay, so then all the other people are American, so then obviously they have to be related. It was hilarious.
It was so good, especially because Spike is in this like ridiculous outfit because he is trying to hide from the shark guy. Mm-hmm. So he looks at inside the suit that he's wearing, and it says his name is Randy. He thinks his name is Randy Giles.
I love Randy. That's
Randy Giles.
Randy Giles. I think I finally figured out why the dude's a shark. He's a card shark. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I figured it out.
You're probably right.
Randy, what is Spike's real name? Do we remember?
Rupert.
No, that's Giles, you motherfucker.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant Rupert. I was thinking Giles, because anyway, what is Spike's real name?
I forget.
They said it once upon a time. It's something like Dweeby. David or like Joseph.
Ugh, we're going to have to ask somebody.
Yeah, ask somebody. Okay. They'll reply.
We don't remember.
What is Spike's real name? It's like something very bland. It's like David Smith or something. Like, it's like very like whatever. Yeah. And then Buffy is the only one besides Dawn without like any sort of ID on her. And so she decides she's going to call herself Joan.
That's a terrible, like I said earlier, that's a terrible name. It really is. It's such a bad name. I don't know why she would go with Joan. And I love how Dawn, as like a true younger sister type vibe, is like, ooh, that's like kind of like an ugly name.
Yeah.
And the only reason why Dawn knows that her name is Dawn is because she has one of those like Carrie Bradshaw like nameplate necklaces.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of those, by the way? I don't know that we've ever talked about this, which feels weird because I feel like they always appear in like television shows.
It strictly reminds me of Carrie. That's like the thing.
Okay.
I think that, I don't know. I mean, I'm the girl that wore like a monogram necklace for a good amount of time. So how can I judge? Because that's the most chuggy shit that ever existed. But I guess I don't hate it. I think that if I were to do something like that now, I would do an initial. I think an initial is a lot more elevated than like a full name. Also, you people don't need to know my name on the streets.
Okay.
I know my own name, so I really don't need to be wearing my name.
Yeah. That's okay, because I'm so happy you brought this up, because part of me is like, I don't want to wear a necklace with my full name. I think I agree, like just the letter, just the initial, because if I wear a necklace with my full name, strangers know my name, and that's creepy and weird, and they could trick me, like somehow.
What do you mean they could trick you?
I don't know.
Scam you just by knowing your first name. It's almost like in your mind, it's like having your full social security on your chest. Just by it saying Jessica or Jess, you're like too much information.
Too much.
The people on the streets can steal my identity.
They don't need that. I really, yes. And the funny thing is, as I now realize, as I say all of this, that I'm becoming my father, because my dad will not wear any t-shirts or sweatshirts or anything with any sort of like affiliation anything.
So that's the thing. Like, if you're going to wear a t-shirt, like a band t-shirt or something, you have to expect that people are going to go up to you and want to talk about it.
Well, that's why he doesn't, because he doesn't want to talk to anybody about it.
And this is like the crazy thing, because like so many introverts wear like movie t-shirts, band t-shirts, like anime shirts, and then they get pissy when somebody comes up and talks to them about it. It's like, but then why are you wearing it?
All you need to do is be like, oh, nice shirt. That's it. You don't need to have a full-blown conversation with someone, just nice shirt.
Oh, so you're blaming the friendly people that are just okay.
Yeah.
That
is too friendly. It's too friendly. Also, we have an update, and I was this is killing me, on Spike's real name, which is William Pratt, which is extra funny because my husband's name is William, and I definitely did not remember that was Spike's name, but I was right that it's a generic name.
Well, I remember now you see that, William the Bloody.
William the Bloody, that's right. Yeah,
but it's because he's bloody boring, not because...
Yes, because he's bloody boring.
Yeah, I do remember that. I could not have... We would have failed that in Buffy trivia at the bar.
Oh. Because oh my god, we'd always lose Buffy trivia. There's no way.
William Pratt. I don't think
William,
I knew his last
William
name.
The Bloody.
I don't really think... I don't think I knew his last name was Pratt, but...
We definitely learned it at some point, but... Maybe. So... Back to Joan. So they know less than nothing about themselves. They have no idea what their names are, who they are. They're like, why are we in a magic shop? What are vampires? They, of course, in come Sharkface and all his minions. And so they're like, what are we going to do? But Buffy has muscle memory, so she's able to kick some ass. And we have a lot of silly bits of, oh, they want Spike. Oh, give them these like wooden spikes.
I was entertained.
It was funny.
Yeah, I thought that was a cute joke. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get some different pairings here because Joan and Randy are the most capable fighters. So they're going to go off together.
Yes.
And get the vampires away. Then we have Xander, Willow, Tara, and Dawn are kind of in a group. They're going to go in the sewers. Anya and Giles are going to keep, like, try to look in a book in the magic shop to see if there's anything that can help them with their memories.
So basically, the most useless people have to go underground.
Basically.
Scoobies that suck, you go under. Anya right. and Giles, who are now a married, engaged couple, get to stay up. And it is funny how each of their dynamics come so naturally already. Like,
yeah,
the Anya, Giles, like, bickering and over control.
Yeah, her being like, oh, I think I'm the magic one and you're the bookkeeper.
Yeah, yeah. It's just my intuition. Mm-hmm. And that Dawn and Buffy had, like, natural, like, sisterly tendencies. Like, automatically, Buffy was very much like a caretaker to Dawn of, like, don't worry, we'll get through this together. It's interesting how, like, those things kind of came through. Willow doesn't know herself. If she can't, like, pick herself out of, like, a lineup, she's like, I'm definitely straight and I'm definitely, you know, but her intelligence comes through, I suppose. But she's also, I don't know.
Willow's the worst and it's fine. I love that Xander doesn't know his nickname is Xander because obviously his name is Alexander. And so later in the episode, Dawn calls him Alex, which is, like, very weird. Mm-hmm. But Buffy and Spike, a.k.a. Joan and Randy, they're running and they're getting attacked by vampires. Spike turns into a vampire, which then scares off Buffy, which is really funny. And Spike, like you said earlier, mentions, oh, I must be a noble vampire, a good guy on a mission of redemption. I hope the hopeless. I'm a vampire with a soul. And Buffy has the incredible line of a vampire with a soul. Oh my God, how lame is that?
Oh, it's so funny. It's brilliant. It really is. And it's just like, oh, let's, like, get our, like, our little dig into Angel off the separate network. A character that won't be here anymore. It's really great. I love that line. It was so funny. And yeah, they decide to, like, work together, but it's like, I mean, I really do, like, it's interesting because he's like, I don't know why I don't have the desire to bite you and you don't have the desire to stake me, but here we are, because he doesn't know about the chip. I don't know.
That's the thing. He's like, I know I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I have a proposal.
Is it indecent?
Yes. No, it's fine. I think that the chip will or has dissolved. I think that we are. I think we're going to find out that Spike is a good guy out of his own fruition. Out of his own,
like his free will, his agency. Free will.
I think that there's going to be a time where we scan for the chip and there is no chip. And
I love this.
A good vampire. Like, he just.
Yes. His brain acid dissolved it, or it's faulty. I adore this story. Yes.
I'm pretty confident that's going to happen because.
I'm so smart.
Because it's just like, okay, like, he is, like, a good vampire somehow.
Well,
because
we're not going to turn him bad at this point.
No.
You know, like, that would be ridiculous. We're not going
to
do that.
Even better to be like, oh, wait, this is the real me. This is me naturally. It's not the chip. And, like, how that could be a little bit of a, like, who the fuck am I then?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a really interesting character development thing. And I also think that could make big moves with Buffy being like, oh, so, like, you naturally are good out of the love of me or the want to help or whatever it was. And it's not just a chip. And once the chip is gone, you're going to want to, like, destroy me. It's just you. I think that could move a lot of mountains for Buffy in order for them to be in an actual relationship. Mm-hmm. That's my theory. That's my new theory.
I love this theory. I think this is brilliant. I think this makes a lot of sense. And I think you could easily make it so that the chip has dissolved or it's faulty or it's, yeah, they, it requires like external forces that be, they don't work anymore because we don't have the initiative anymore, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No, I love this. And it could be as a result of like Spike. Yeah. They want to scan his brain for some reason, whatever, whatever. I love this. Anya and Giles are working in the magic shop. They're like doing research together. Anya picks the wrong book and she keeps summoning bunnies.
Can we talk about the bunny thing?
Is it too much for you now?
It's kind of wild because I know that she's been afraid of bunnies since the beginning. I know that she has. Why is she afraid of bunnies?
Because she doesn't trust them.
I love bunnies though.
But why is anyone afraid of anything?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, why is a bunny less scary than a mouse to me?
Well, I was just going to say, you're afraid of mice.
Yeah, I'm very afraid of mice.
And arguably, they're less dangerous.
Why are mice less dangerous than bunnies? Well,
I feel like a bunny bite would hurt way more. It's bigger. Oh,
apparently bunny bites really do hurt really, really bad.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't know. I'm terrified of mice. And like, but also I don't really think snakes are scary. I think they're pretty cool. So yeah, I guess that's a good point. She's just afraid of rabbits. It's pretty silly. Because she keeps like trying to do some sort of spell. And then there's like eventually a billion bunnies.
And she's like standing on the table, which is very fun. I mean, let's face it. Anya has lived a very, very, very long time. Mm-hmm. It's possible that she had some encounter with a bunny like hundreds of years ago.
I hope it's like the Easter bunny.
Okay, let's be real though. The idea of the Easter Bunny is very creepy. And also, I don't like costumes where there's like a head thing.
Oh, you don't like character costumes. So like if you went to Disney, you wouldn't like the Chip and Dale.
No. It creeps me out. It is like, where are your eyeballs? Like, I don't like that I don't know where your eyeballs are. It is so creepy. I actively avoid them if we go somewhere that has them because it just like weirds me out.
It's the eyeballs are either in the mouth hole or in the eye.
I can't see them.
Well, because that ruins the Disney magic. Yeah.
None of it's magic. It's all very scary. But yeah, and Giles is getting very frustrated because Anya will not stop trying to do these spells. He's like fighting a skeleton with a sword at one point.
That was crazy. There was like green swirlies in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a natural witch. That's for sure. Anya might be a worse witch than Willow. I mean, she is. I mean, Willow is very, very powerful. The fact that she's able to do this.
Yeah, it's too bad she's a fucking asshole, though.
it is too bad. But this is, I think it takes a very strong-willed person to wield that much magic and not abuse it, you know? Mm-hmm. Every single villain starts out wanting to do good. You know what I mean? Like, that's their, like, mission. Or they're, like, wronged and blah, 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 blah. But, like, you know, nobody's, like, out here trying to – they're working towards the, like, quote-unquote greater good, right? So I don't think that she's, like, intentionally doing it, but she's
– at this point, she's intentionally being a fucking asshole.
yeah, but it's actually kind of cool because of, like, how crazy the magic she is able to do.
Sure, yeah. I love that Giles discovers the plane ticket in his pocket and is like, oh my God, I must be leaving Anya. Like, I must be like ditching her. And as they're like having this argument, he's like, no wonder I'm leaving you. She like throws the engagement ring across the floor. Like, Giles. It's so funny. It's
a one-way ticket. Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Well, and it's only for him. Like, he doesn't have one for her.
She has a ticket on her person.
Nah, he says it's not a round trip ticket. It's a one-way ticket. But they make up, and Willow is to blame for the fact that we had to watch Giles and Anya kiss.
Was that disturbing?
I wanted to die.
Why?
Number one, it's disgusting. This is not the character pairing. No. Number two, the age difference is fairly astonishing.
I mean, I have no clue how old Emma Caulfield is supposed to
be. Not between the actors. Let's face it. Giles is a father figure to these children.
Well, I love when Randy was like, hey, you know what I like? I like when Randy was like, it is bonkers that you are dating somebody like half your age, dad. Oh,
he calls her like a trollop or something.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. But no, I think it's gross and I hated it and I wished I never had to see it.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't that bothered by it because it was just a spell.
Thanks to fucking Willow. Meanwhile, the other four are like fucking around in the sewers and Willow and Tara are having these like long glances, these like sexual tense moments. And luckily, Xander, the big oof, steps on the crystal, breaks it, which causes everyone to remember everything, thankfully. And the fucking audacity of Willow to not even fucking apologize. It is like everyone remembers and Tara and Willow just look at each other. Tara just starts crying and Willow just walks away. Bitch, are you fucking serious? No groveling, no begging for forgiveness, no weepy I'm sorries, nothing.
She's like, I'm not going to take responsibility for this right now. It's too intense and that will be a like 6-on-1 battle. So I'm going to see myself out and all of you like have a good night. She's like, I'm going to go.
Is there an argument to say that Buffy would be better off without the Scoobies? Because now we have Willow with the. I know you've been saying this.
I've been saying this. These people are useless. I've been saying this.
This is the second episode in a row. Like Xander with the music bits and now Willow with the forgetful spell. Like this is the second episode in a row. Like, you know what it is? It's not that she doesn't need the Scoobies. Kick Willow and Xander out. Keep Anya, Tara, and Spike. And reform.
No, Anya's kind of useless too. I think that
she can handle the money. She can get Buffy proper pay.
Maybe. I think she keeps Spike, Giles if he wants to stay, mm-hmm. and we bring in Frankie. And then
who the fuck is Frankie?
Fred. Fred. We ruined Fred, and that's all she needs.
I was losing my mind when I'm like,
she doesn't need all these extra people. They're useless, and I've been saying this for so freaking long. Yeah.
Sometimes they're very helpful, but they cause more harm than good.
That is probably true.
On the whole, I think it's like it's weighted towards like total fuck up.
Yeah, I like seriously, it's so bad. She does not need any of the Scoobies.
What if we get rid of Xander and Willow? We pull in Tara. Obviously, Tara is a good get, I would argue. Anya's questionable. She can go with Xander, probably. Pull in Spike. What if we break Faith out of jail?
No. I'm telling you.
Like, don't you tell me she's property of Angel. Don't you dare. Is,
but also, she's like. She's not trustworthy enough. She really is not.
So
we just need to kill Faith and then regenerate a new Slayer that's actually good.
We've discussed this very briefly the end of last season that Buffy died. Where the fuck is this new Slayer?
For the billionth time, let me explain this to you.
Ugh.
When Buffy died,
right
in the puddle. She generated the new Slayer, which was Bianca Lawson. I forget her.
The girl from Dawson's Creek. Yeah.
What is her real name or in the show?
Cassandra?
No. I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
I don't know. That was so long ago.
I know. Her. So now
the
Slayer lineage is only under her. When she died, Faith comes.
Faith is still alive. Faith is
still alive, and there would only be a new Slayer summoned if Faith dies. Because Buffy has already died, she is no longer. There is no lineage under her. It did not branch out. It's only under Faith now.
Okay.
So we will not get a new Slayer until Faith dies. Now, gotcha. I just want you to like implant that in your brain.
It's not, it's going to be like the chip and it's going to dissolve. It's not
going to stay in there. I've explained this to you multiple times.
And I'm sure you have.
I just want it to go into your head.
I will try to lock it in there.
Sure. And I think it's because you're not used to like sorority family trees. It makes a lot of sense to me, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to you.
I don't know the correlation, but okay. Well, here's what we need to talk about. During the next few scenes that we're going to be discussing, my soul left my body. Because Michelle Branch.
Okay. No, not that. Yeah, Michelle Branch is an icon.
Okay. Here's the thing. Avril Lavigne, right? Like, we remember the sensation of Avril Lavigne. Yes. Like, girls are wearing ties. I did that. Like, we remember the moment. I did it. We remember that. Michelle Branch. I can't explain to you the impact that Michelle Branch's music had on a preteen me. I was obsessed. Michelle Branch was one of her CDs was one that like you, I knew every single track in the order that it was in.
Wow.
On the, and it, oh my God, I love her. I love her music. The Spirit Room was like the big one for me. That was her second album.
Oh, is that what an album is called?
The Spirit Room, yeah.
I don't think I owned, I think like I liked Michelle Branch. It just was like, I liked her few songs and then I would put it on a like burned CD.
Okay. See, I loved every single one of these. So I had both, I had The Spirit Room and Hotel Paper, which was her third album. Yeah. And it's so funny. So when I was 16, around 16, maybe 15, I might have been a little bit younger. I was in that like pre-teeny teen years. I took guitar lessons. And my teacher was like, bring in a song you would want to learn to play, like that realistically I could teach you. I brought in the song Everywhere by Michelle Branch. And my teacher was like happy with my progress. And he invited me to sing. He had like a small church. I sang and played guitar to the song Everywhere at his like teeny tiny church thing.
Was it like a little mini concert?
Yeah. I mean, I had like, there was a bass person and a drummer.
Wow. Oh, they backed you up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And it was too, Michelle Branch is everywhere. Like, I can't describe to you how much I freaking adore Michelle Branch.
You're a big fan. Yeah. The Spirit Room, I'm looking, this is kind of where a lot of her hits are. Everywhere.
You get me.
So You Get Me is, I know that song really well because of the MTV sorority reality show called Sorority Life. So that was the like opening song for that. All You Wanted. And then Here With Me. I think that might be all the ones that I know. Am I?
Well, missing? Goodbye to You is the one that's in the show. In this episode.
Yes. That's track 10. I missed that one. Yep. So yeah, so I know all of those songs.
You definitely know on Hotel Paper, you definitely know Are You Happy Now? Are You Happy Now? Yeah. And then Breathe. You definitely know Breathe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know all of her hits because it was her. And then you know how like Britney Spears had a counterpart in Christina Aguilera?
Yeah,
because it was Michelle Branch kind of versus, not that there was really a versus, Vanessa Carlton.
Yes.
And
yeah, it was guitar versus piano.
Yeah, I feel like the two of them were, I mean, it wasn't really an ops. Like, I'm sure that they were like friendly.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, and so then I think like on this like mystery burn CD that I had, like I would have like all those Michelle Branch songs, but then I would have like A Thousand Miles, An Ordinary Day, and the song White Houses, which I especially liked because it was about losing your virginity. And I was like, I aspire to be in White Houses too. That's what because I was a teenager. All I wanted to do was to lose my virginity. So I had a one track mind and that was it. So I was like, White Houses, that is my song.
Yeah. So needless to say, when Michelle Branch, and the thing is, you know me, like I don't listen to a lot of music day to day.
Your favorite band is notoriously Journey, which is disturbing to me.
But the thing is I know Michelle Branch. So like I know, and a lot of musicians, if you were to show me a photo of them, I wouldn't be able to tell you who it was. You know what I mean? Like it took me a long time to know like what Sabrina Carpenter looked like. And I had been listening to her music for a while. So like the fact that I was able to recognize Michelle Branch instantly and like know every lyric to this freaking song she's singing, like I was so jazzed.
It's so interesting when you used to listen to music a lot and you take a
podcast
long time.
Didn't exist,
not you particularly, it's like a
everyone, yeah,
you, and like you don't listen to that music, but then when you do again, everything comes back. I'm experiencing this currently with the band called The Killers. That was like one of my favorite bands in high school. I haven't listened to them in a really long time. And I was like, I think like one of the songs popped up in Tell Me Lies. And I was like, oh, The Killers. Like, and I was listening to like the CDs or the streaming, the albums, whatever. And I knew like every single lyric. And it's just like, it's just somewhere in the back of your brain that comes, and the same thing with this Michelle Branch song. Like I love the fact that she got like the full like 4 minute song.
Yes.
Like it wasn't even a clip. They're like, we are giving you airtime and you can have it all, ma'am.
You're playing at the Bronze, bitch. Yeah. This was incredible. And it's of course like we're getting a montage as this song is going on where Tara is packing up all her belongings, which again, kick fucking Willow out, but whatever. Willow's like sobbing on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, but also like Dawn is mad at Tara for leaving, which is
she stomps away. It's like, go fucking punch Willow, Dawn, come on.
It's so unhinged that like she's mad. It's just like, once again, like, oh, you're mad at the parent that cheated or got cheated on because that parent is leaving and not the parent that's the cheater. A different situation, but essentially the same. It was so crazy that she's like giving Tara the cold shoulder. And she's like, hello, do you not realize what she just did to all of us?
Yeah.
And of course, like Willow's crying on the floor in Joyce's bathroom that she's taken over and doesn't pay rent for.
Yeah. Tara's like packing up all her shit and leaving and saying goodbye to Dawn. Simultaneously, Giles is on a plane and he's leaving to go to England. Goodbye to you, Giles. And then Buffy and Spike. So Buffy, as everyone's getting their memories back, right? Like Spike offers Buffy a hand up when they're on the ground fighting the vampires. She like ignores him and immediately like walks away. And then we're seeing her sit at the Bronze with like just nothing happening behind her eyes, like just like total depression mode. Space the fuck out. Spike walks up beside her. She looks at him. He looks at her like he's like wants to talk. And she does the most childish fucking like turn away from him. And like, I don't even see you.
And then Spike's sad puppy look, he like turns his head a little and is like, please talk to me, please. And then he walks away. And then what other montage do we see?
Well, it's like we're cutting between all of these montages. So then we're back with like Tara packing up. And then we're back at the Bronze and we're like, listen, still Michelle Branch fucking vibing. I am losing my fucking shit at this point because I fucking love Michelle Branch.
Yeah. And we're vibing. You're mad at Buffy because she's...
Oh, I'm mad at Buffy. I'm really mad at Buffy because she's being really hateful to Spike when he literally hasn't done anything wrong right now.
Yeah. Did we see Tara? No, sorry. Did we see Xander and Anya in this montage?
No.
I don't remember seeing. Okay. They're like, well, you guys have no issues, so we're not going to show you right now.
No.
Okay, so yeah, then eventually we cut to these two little sluts making out in the corner.
The way I fucking screamed, we are like, because it's not just that, it's that we're like panning in the Bronze, like we're following different like couples and people, and then they're just like, oh my god, I can't, I'm like my whole body. Okay, because like, let me tell you, if I had watched this episode of television
yeah
when I was like Dawn's age, when I was a teenager, this would have been one of those scenes I would have rewound play so many times. It has everything. It has Michelle Branch singing. Yeah. It has the you're not expecting it, right? Because she just like gave him the cold shoulder. And they're making out and it's like under the stairs. Like it's like illicit. You know what I mean? It's like, it's forbidden.
The forbidden secret kisses are probably some of the sexiest kisses.
That's what I'm saying. And like, this was actually a good kiss. We talked last episode about the musical kiss and it wasn't like the best kiss.
Yeah. Can we agree that this is actually their real first kiss? Because every other kiss that they've had was under the influence of a spell or magic or some sort of.
Well, I would argue that the musical one wasn't, you know.
Yes, that was. That was a curse slash spell. Plus, or it was like, I'm going to kiss you as a thank you for helping my sister out.
Yeah.
Like, can we just make can't we just say that this is their real first kiss?
This is their first like real actual kiss. And let me tell you.
Okay. That's literally what I just said. You just rephrased it.
Well, yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think I can agree with that because this feels like the most, there's nothing else happening. It's just them kissing. But I was so mad because here's the thing. I wanted to see the lead up. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm going to make a reference.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. There are like a few television kisses that are like big. They stand out in my mind. One of them, right? Like Ross goes to Central Perk. Oh, okay. Rachel's like unlocking all the doors. The doors burst open. Ross grabs her and they kiss. And it is like momentous, right?
That's a very good one now that you've said that. I can't think of any. Name another.
There is a New Girl kiss. The first kiss.
It's fine.
There's a kiss between Nick and Jess where like basically they're playing this game at a party with friends and they're like, oh, Nick and Jess have to kiss. They have to kiss. It's like a joking like 7 minutes in heaven sort of thing. And Nick says like, no, not like this. And then Jess is like, what are you talking about? And so then later they're about to go to bed. They're in the hallway of their apartment. And she's like, what did you mean by that? And he's like, what does he say? He's like, I meant like this. And as she's walking away, he grabs her arm, not in like a malicious way. He like grabs her arm, spins her around and kisses her. And it is like the most deep, passionate, like I can't help myself sort of a kiss. And I loved this kiss, but I was so desperate to see the seconds that led to it. Like all I wanted to see was like, well, what happened? Like, did Buffy chase him down and just kiss him? Like, I want to know what happened.
I think that's what happened. I think he walked off and then she got up and he was like storming off and she touched his shoulder and turned him around and just like kissed him. I think I
don't think words were exchanged. Like, I don't think any words were exchanged. It was just such a good kiss, especially because it's being like Michelle Branch is singing and it's like, you were the one I loved. It's so good.
As if Jessica Sterling was 14 years old and wrote the fanfic between Spuffy.
Yeah. I would have, I'm telling you right now, this would have been my ship if I watched, I mean, it is now, but like if I had watched this at the time that like a lot of other people did, I would have been all in on this particular thing because I think the chemistry is there. The buildup has been there. I think like the illicitness of it is there. Like it's so forbidden. Michelle Branch is singing. Like
it really is good. Like before everybody else knows the like one of the sexiest parts of a relationship is like before everybody, all your friends know.
Yes, same thing with again another New Girl thing. There's like a between Cece and Schmidt, like they're like doing it on the down low and like no one knows. It's and like Chandler and Monica, like there's like the, you know, it's like very like saucy when it's like forbidden, when it's unknown.
Yeah. So when it's just like yours.
I was totally so into this. I was so into this.
I mean, it was, I thought that the kiss was better and I thought that, I like that it, I would assume we didn't see it, but maybe we'll go in the next episode. We'll like go back a little bit and like see it play out.
Where do we go from here? Right? Like,
But I do like that in our headcanon that Buffy was the pursuer, and that like after he kind of got rejected, I think like Spike needs to be pursued in that way, because I think that he spends a lot of his life being the pursuer, or like the person that like, I'm obsessed with you, and not a lot of people like reciprocate. Like even Drelulu, I think that she wanted a companion. She saw what Darla and Angel had and like wanted a companion, and saw that Spike was kind of like a weakling. It wasn't like she necessarily chose him for anything more than like, you know, you're here and I think that I can like manipulate you and control you. And it seems like you like want a partner as well. So I like, fine. Like, right? Like, I mean, and like then she was like kind of crazy and was more into her dolls than him. Like, I think that he just needs somebody to like actually choose him. And I, once again, it's like a, it's a bummer that we don't see like the actual thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if like we kind of like go back a little and get to see it. And yeah, where do we go from here? I think it's going to be a little bit of a secret for a little bit of time. I don't know if that'll be too much like the Anya Xander secret of being engaged, where like Spike is the one of like, why can't we tell anybody? Like, I don't like this, you know?
I think he would be happy, like content just to be with Buffy for a little bit. Like, I don't think he would care.
Well, yeah, because then he could just have her on his own, which is kind of his prerogative. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is really interesting. I'm curious if these two are able to actually like communicate like a actual couple, like how those types of things play out, or if it's just mainly going to be like just a passionate relationship based off of like sexual tension. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I kind of like, I'm having a harder time seeing them like work out the highs and lows of life together, but who knows? Like, we'll see how that happens.
I'm very excited. This was one of those ones where I was like, this is really tough to not have play on the next episode right away. Like, it's very tough for me. I need to see what happens. But I can soon. Should we catch up on Cordy's Corner?
Lots of baby stuff.
So much baby stuff. I've caught up. I watched two episodes. I watched Offspring and Quickening. What I am getting is that like we are establishing that we're getting a Cordy Angel thing. Like, it's going to happen.
That's where you want to go? Sure. Yeah.
I mean, just think it's going to happen. Like,
you're right. You're right. I especially saw it, I think, in the first episode out of the two.
Cordy is so mad when like he impregnates Darla. Granted, like, lost his soul last time he fucked. So like, you know. Dangerous stuff, but
I mean, I think that if anything, it should prove to Cordy that Darla doesn't mean that much to him, because he didn't lose his soul when he like came into her. So
listen, if he likes Cordy with those tiny ass fucking bangs, they're horrible.
The hair was starting to look good again, and then we have to make it look bad again. It's very unfortunate. Yeah, I'm definitely seeing what you're doing, and I applaud you for catching the vibes like really, really quickly. So good job to you. I'm positive.
Good job to you.
Especially with Fred and Wesley coupling up. Like, it's just like a no-brainer. Because I did think that we had Fred open for Angel, but honestly, the coupling between her and Wesley makes a lot more sense. So and thank God, like, keep that man away from Cordelia by all means.
Yeah, Fred has also decided to like straighten her hair a little bit lately.
And I told you she's looking hot.
I know, but I like the curly hair. I'm a little bit mad at her.
It's only, her hair was only curly because it was matted because she didn't have a hairbrush. Like, not because it was my choice.
But yeah, we get so much Darla, these two episodes of Darla's pregnancy, and like she comes into town. Angel's going to be a daddy. They find out that the baby has a soul, and Darla wants to like eat children because of it. But then we get some really weird shit where like Darla has some like Braxton Hicks contractions, and then there's like this vampire cult who's like, your baby is a miracle child and we want to worship the baby.
Yeah. we really got like a bunch of randos in the second episode that's really hard to keep track of, because we have our like angel investigations crew, then we have this like vampire cult, then we have Wolfram and Hart fucking around, then we have this guy that has like a 1,000-year grudge against Angel. It's and then all of this culminates into like the scene at the end. I'm just like, who the fuck are all these
we're doing
people?
Too much, we're doing too much, we're bugging Angel investigations, we've got the guy from Lost and Wolfram and Hart lady, like there's too much happening, I can't keep track, and now we have a cult, like I don't know who this old man is with the weird face who like says he got Botox, like he's just like, oh, I hate Angel because he killed my family when Darla and Angelus were like baddies back in the day.
Like the Sarah and the, there was like a little girl.
In, yeah, he they killed their, his kids or whatever. And he's been held basically like in that same thing that the guy from Star Wars was in, where it's like you're in the jello for centuries or whatever the hell.
Yeah, I agree. It really is too much, because I think like the both of us are just like, oh, but like, can we just go back to the Darla storyline?
That was all I wanted. Like all I wanted. I can't. I'm going to start singing Michelle Branch every time I say any phrase. But somebody who can. Okay. No. Yeah. All I wanted was to focus on Darla and what's going on with them. And like, they're like, no, we have to add all this other fuckery. And it was like, actually, what about Wolfram and Hart? And I'm like, I don't give a single fuck about Wolfram and Hart.
A lot. And Lila, like, was that her name?
That's her name. Yeah.
All I remember about that was that she pricked her finger and made ink out of her own blood.
That was fucked. That was cool, but it was fucked.
It's like, I'm going to make ink out of my own blood. But yeah, I think that the most interesting stuff is the Darla stuff, because like in the beginning, like the first episode, she was very much like, I'm in a lot of pain, which actually I'm in my stage of pregnancy where I'm starting to be in a lot of pain, like back and hip pain. So I was like, I relate to you. I understand. Then she's like starting to labor in the second episode and she's like getting those Braxton Hicks things. And they're like, we need to get like the ultrasound because we want to see if this is like a, you know, three headed like demi gorgon, like,
or whatever. But it's a human,
a humanoid. So it could be a vampire with a soul.
I think they said it was a boy, right?
It's a boy. Yeah. It's a boy.
What are they going to name it?
Renesmo,
obviously.
Yeah, very much paralleling my future, because we're having a boy. So
yeah, and like we leave we leave off the episode with like Darla is definitely giving birth, but Angel has been held up by the guy that is out to get him. So he probably isn't going to be there. Typical father shenanigans, not showing up for the birth of his own child. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what happened. Gun juggled, which was very fun.
Yeah, he dropped the ball, literally, on purpose.
I loved that. I loved watching him juggle. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can juggle.
I can't. No, I definitely can't.
That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, it's just like a lot of stuff. And I wish we could dial it back a little bit, but...
It especially felt like a lot because I watched two episodes like pretty much back to back, and so I was like, oh my god, how did Sarah watch three last week? Like my brain is about to explode right
now. I mean, it was intense, but I only had to watch one today.
I just want the listeners to know what we're doing for them, because we're recording twice a week, and so we're watching four episodes of television a week usually, which isn't a lot, but it's a lot.
Yes.
When you're trying to come on and talk about it. Anyway, we did get an email. Andrew, you sent this like a week ago. Like you probably sent it like four episodes ago at this point, but like just know that we are reading our inbox. Okay, you invoked How I Met Your Mother, so I needed to issue a point of clarification for the sake of preventing any unnecessary character assassination of Lily Aldrin. Lily did break up with Marshall, but she never cheated on him. Lily would never do that. One of the hallmarks of Lily and Marshall's relationship is that they've only been with each other. Scooter doesn't count. Also, since I'm here, I should probably also talk a little bit about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The third member of the loser trio is Andrew. And no, we've never seen him before. I don't know why they wanted to call back to Tucker by introducing his brother. I suspect maybe they wanted to bring back Tucker, but the actor wasn't available. And if you're having trouble remembering his name, you could just think of me, a slightly cooler Andrew. That was an email from Andrew.
There we go.
I'll never remember that guy's name. Yeah.
I assume that I said that Lily cheated on Marshall.
I might have. I just know I didn't like Lily.
Well, Lily was a meddler. She did not participate in No Meddle May.
She was a messy bitch and I didn't like it.
Okay, so maybe you just really don't like Allison Hannigan.
I liked Willow when she was cool and now she's being a fucking asshole and I don't like her anymore. She's mean to Tara. She lied and she does dumb. Like, yes, she's powerful, but she's a stupid person with power isn't good because they do stupid shit.
Where did I hear that before? It seems as though I can understand that with the people in power. Yeah, stupid people with power is not good.
It's just like she was trying to put a spell on Tara and Buffy and she fucking knocked out the whole crew. If Xander hadn't oopsie daisied on that stone, they'd still be fucking around not knowing who's who.
Oh, that's so funny. She's so bad.
She's so stupid. I can't stand her. And
the funny thing is that, like, I've been saying for 5 seasons that she's a terrible witch.
And I was very defensive of her for a very long time. But you know what? I can only do it for so long, Willow. You suck.
That's so funny.
I'm so mad. I hate her. I'm really mad at her. I love Tara. And I'm mad that Tara moved out and not her because she sucks.
I pay Willow no mind, honestly. I'm just like, hey, if you want to be bad, be bad. Like, ruin the whole entire world.
I would love if she actually leaned into being bad, but instead she's just a big fat crybaby crying on the bathroom floor. Anyway, I can't with her. Oh, my girlfriend broke up with me. Yeah, because you suck.
As a professional crier, I would not choose my place of crying on the bathroom floor. Is cold.
You're a bed crier, right?
It's hard. I need to cry in bed.
Need blankets and stuff.
Yeah, my bed is my safe space. It's literally my favorite place in the world, and I would not choose the bathroom floor over my bed for my crying activities.
It does seem like a bad spot for it, unless you're like, I throw up when I cry or something.
Well, yeah, the bathroom floor is for throwing up. It's not for crying.
That's my throw up space, not my crying space.
And I know that to be true, honestly. I had a really tough first 20 weeks.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So those are our episodes. Next time we're going to be talking about season 6, episode 9, Smashed.
Oh,
are they smashing? What's happening? Oh, we are going to have a special guest, Tom Palmer. So
yeah, they're fucking.
I legitimately thought he picked that episode because it was like 69, season 6, episode 9, but he said he didn't. I thought it was for the bit.
Do you like smash burgers?
I've never had a smash burger. I know what it is, but I've never had one.
I like them because I like a thinner burger. I don't need like a huge pile of meat on a bun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what's the Angel episode called?
Season 3, episode 9, Lullaby.
Oh, the baby.
It's a baby. The baby's born.
Where's your favorite place to cry?
I mean, I don't have a favorite place to cry. It just happens where it happens, I guess.
Shower is a good number 2, by the way.
I don't cry in the shower, really.
Really?
No, because I'm in and I'm out. I'm lickety split. I'm getting down to business and I'm getting the fuck on out of there.
I sometimes
dilly dally just to cry in there.
Yeah, actually, yes, that's true.
No, I don't enjoy crying. Anytime I'm crying, I'm irritated with myself that I'm crying. No. That's it. So, any hoozles, that's it. And we'll be back next time with more Angel and Buffy. Buffy and Angel smashed. Can't wait to talk about Spuffy fucking. Until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.